Well, Ellen, we have guests here. You want to introduce them?
Yes, I do. Our local filmmaker, Isabel Barton, is with us. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me over.
And Antonia, with a hyphenated last name, and I'm going to let her tell us what it is. She's been reported to us as a radio star.
Ellen. Not reported to us. I can testify to
it.
I am a fan
testimony.
Of Antonia's show. It is called Bound by Books. She reviews and talks about, and lately she's been doing something really incredible, reading her favorite poems on the air.
Someone actually listens to us? What?
I know, right? I mean, what kind of weirdo am I?
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
No, I happen to really like the young adult and children's shows on this station.
Good.
You and Loretta Salzberg, who does Radio Maniac Fun.
Cool.
But yeah, I thought that was great. You read last week. You read Emily Dickinson, and I forget what else. Did you read Robert Frost?
I think we did Emily Dickinson. I'm blanking on his name. But we did a bunch of different people, actually. Yeah.
That was courageous.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway,
it was fun. I thought it was a really good show.
What we're saying here is that you are a fellow WGXC programmer.
Yes, I am. I love WGXC. Yes, I'm Antonia Bellamy Talbot.
Oh, Bellamy Talbot, that's the name.
There you go.
We interviewed your mother, Cam Bellamy,
yeah.
Who works at Solaris. So, Ellen, explain to us why they're here.
Well, I got wind of the fact that on Sunday, these short films created by students at the Hudson Junior High and Chatham Middle School and the elementary school in New Lebanon, these films were made by students as a project with the Chatham Film Club. So, Isabel, could you tell us what your involvement has been with all of this?
Yes, Calliope Nicholas approached me, asked me if I would be willing to teach this class. I told her I was not a teacher, but here I am. I came along, and it's been quite an adventure. It's always good to work with Calliope. I've shown my films at the festival several times. And being an artist, my interest in passing on some knowledge to the kids has to do with using a medium to express their creativity. And film is great because it involves so many different things.
So was this an after-school program or was it part of their regular curriculum?
It's after school.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
and it was once a week, twice a week?
Once a week. Supposedly it was going to be 6 weeks, but how many weeks do we have? More like 8 or 9? Yes. A lot longer than we expected, but it's been a lot of fun. And we have a finished film. We were just making the last corrections.
And this was shot on video?
Shot in video in high definition.
High definition video.
And the film club bought a really good set of equipment for this. A very good Canon camera.
The film club from Chatham.
Yeah.
So they were kind of sponsoring this.
This
in
is
the
their
public
program.
Schools.
This is their program, and it's sponsored by the Berkshire Taconic Foundation.
Oh.
And help me, Ellen.
The Columbia Arts and Humanities Project and the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation.
Exactly.
I'm looking for the name of the other filmmaker teacher.
It's Patrick Toole.
Patrick Toole, right. And he's been doing this program in the other two schools?
Yes, and he's been doing this for a while. He does it in several other schools, I think, around the Great Barrington area.
My friend lives in Great Barrington, and they've got a film club at their school, so that might be...
So, Antonia, can you describe your film a bit for us? I mean, is it full? How long is it?
I think it's about 10 minutes now. I was
and
told it was going to be.
Is
six
it
minutes.
A conventional narrative? Is it poetic? Is it
It's a film about this girl. I wasn't actually there when they wrote it because I couldn't be there for the first couple sessions, but my peers wrote it, and it's a film about this girl who she's the new girl in school. And her, she receives this phone call that her dad is in the hospital and he's not doing well because he was wounded in action. He was in the army. And so it's basically her dealing with that. And then there's also some mean girls 'cause she's the new girl in school. And,
Well, that's kind of interesting, given that, you know, there, in fact, New York Times recently had a piece about the endurance of the film called Mean Girls, how it's become almost like a touchstone for young girls in high school and middle school these days.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really nice film that we made. It takes a...
My daughter in particular is suffers from the fact that her name is Regina. And isn't Regina the mean one?
I've never actually seen Mean Girls.
Oh. I believe Regina is the horrible one in the movie. I have seen it, but I can't remember who's who.
Okay.
I do know that it's an irony that it's Lindsay Lohan who is the one who is the sad outsider. But anyway.
And the name of your film is...
Mean Girls 2. No.
No. It's Not Over. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, it's called It's Not Over. It was funny. When we made up that name, it was because it's a line from The Thing, but then we didn't really like that line, so we were going to cut it out, but we realized we kind of had to keep it because...
That's a classic production problem, you know?
Yeah.
You have a line or something that, you know, or an actor even who you like in a movie, and then it turns out they end up on the cutting room floor.
But it's an interesting thing that Antonia was in the minds of the kids when they were in the first class and we were discussing what made a story a story, what made a story a good story, and there had to be conflict and there had to be resolution and confrontation and all these things. And I was saying, you know, think of something personal, something that might happen to you or to somebody you know here in the school. And they started to think about Antonia, and she wasn't there. And she was the inspiration for all the kids to write the story about. So then we had to pull her in, and we had to change the day the class was being given because she couldn't be there on Thursdays. She was taking a guitar class. So then it all changed around, and she's the star of the film.
Oh, you're in the film?
Yeah, I'm the main character.
Oh.
Yeah. I wanted to be in the club from the very beginning. I was actually in it at Chatham, mm-hmm. and then I transferred to Hudson. And I wasn't able to make it on the day that they were doing it. So they actually switched it, and I was very honored and kind of embarrassed because, yeah, that was a lot of, I don't know.
So, Isabel, do we have a star in the making?
Absolutely. I keep telling her that. She is a complete natural.
And who actually directed the movie? Was it the directing activity shared by a number of the...
Yes, that's the whole idea of this, is to have everybody get a sense of every one of the different things that you do in a film. Of course, she can't do a whole lot else because she's in front of the camera the whole time. Mm-hmm. But everybody else is changing roles.
Tell
all the
that
time.
To Woody Allen.
Yeah, right. He usually has the female stars take up a lot of the screen time, yeah. though. She happens to be there all the time. But... I think that, you know, one of the things that I usually the most difficult thing for people to understand about filmmaking at the beginning when they, you know, become familiar with the process is what it is that the director does. And it is a complex answer. And, you know, since you bring it up, I'll say that the issue with directors is that you have to have the vision to put the film together, and it has to come from one mind or... you know, a shared vision. And so it's very difficult to have a bunch of different directors. So in the end, it's, you know, that's the thing that I would really like to be able to give them more of, just what it is a director does. How does the vision become a movie? But the thing about this course is movies are so complex to make, and they take up so many people and so much time. And this is a very compact course, and we really need much more time to be able to really move it to a place mm-hmm. where it'll stay as part of their, you know, life later on.
So the films at the moment are what they call rough cut?
Well, it's a little more than a rough cut. We've been moving along we've been doing some fine cutting too, but I think what the newsletter was talking about was at what part of the process things happen, and that the kids got to a certain point. That's not so much my course as it is Patrick's course.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, we teach it differently. For me, I haven't seen his films and I haven't seen the process, but I know what I hear is that these kids have been more hands-on in terms of the material coming from them from the beginning. They've written every line in the screenplay themselves, and they have made the decisions are made by them. I can bring corrections and I say, well, how about this instead? But they make the final decisions. And so I think that's in the editing, we've had little time to do so much. So I bring a bunch of stuff and then we discuss several things and they said, tell me what they don't like. And I make the adjustments and things
like
that.
Do you use an online editing program?
I use Premiere Pro.
Okay.
Which is very simple, and you know, in terms of compared to other programs, mm-hmm. but still, it's very complex.
And did the kids work on that too, or it was?
They don't work on it. I mean, they have it at the school, not Pro, mm-hmm. but they have six, and but there's not enough time mm-hmm. to even get their hands wet in something so complex. You know, it would take at least half of what course like this one.
Was there any need for props or set design? Or,
you know, the great thing about this situation, and one of the things I'm making a point to the kids about, is that as a filmmaker, you work with what you have. And we have a great building. It's a fantastic place.
You're talking about Hudson High?
Yes. And so we've used the architecture of the building mm-hmm. a lot as, you know, feature. And sometimes, you know, I've gone to the pool many times, and I've swam on the pool many times, and I had never quite seen how beautiful it is in there with all the colors on the walls until I saw it through the camera, and I said, wow. You know, we see with our memories and we don't really look, but when you look at it through the camera, it's fantastic. So the colors in the classroom too, right? And beautiful the way the colors look.
Yeah, I think it's really nice. And that was also one of the things that I noticed coming to Hudson from Chatham, is they have like a really nice building, and they have really nice desks. Their chairs are really nice. They've got windows like everywhere. And we used a lot of the building. Yeah. And also a lot of the light from the windows.
What grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade?
Yes.
So is this project just for the middle school, or was it?
Junior high.
I'm sorry, junior high to call it, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. The kids are what age?
It's actually like all eighth graders in ours. I think it was open to the seventh graders. I'm not sure. Or maybe they're even our seventh graders. I'm not really sure. I don't actually even know that many people. I only came to Hudson in February, so yeah, I don't know.
So are you going to start a film club in Hudson, do you think, as a result of this?
I don't know. Maybe. we'll see what happens. I mean, I kind of started this sort of book thing at Chatham, but I mean, yeah, that would be a great thing to do.
We had the last class yesterday, and the kids were asking for more.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a successful program.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So how many films will be shown on this weekend?
Three films. One from the Lebanon, one from Chatham, one from Hudson. And I think they're going to be all very, very different. I hear one's a thriller, the other one is a comedy. And then we have this kind of moody film about this girl having a hard time. We have a drama.
And Isabel, what's your background?
And we know
film?
The star.
Have you made videos and movies?
Yes, I've shown three films at the festival here.
Yeah.
Aspern Papers.
The Aspern Papers show 3 years ago and got the award for the local filmmakers. And that was actually written and produced by me. That's a feature film. Aspern Papers is an adaptation of Henry James.
A Henry James story, yeah.
But set in modern times in a fishing village in Venezuela. My daughter directed, Mariana Helmund. And then I had shown two shorts there before. One made in Hudson and one in Kingston. And my background before that is in architectural photography. That's why I come from a family of architects. So I have this kinship with architecture and a sensitivity for it. So being at the school was, I hope you come and see the film. It's really mm-hmm. worth seeing. You know, it's amazing how kind of professional it looks for a film made by kids in so little time. And it's got beautiful music, right?
Who wrote the music, or where did it come from?
Yeah, it has very nice music.
The music we got at Vimeo has a library for getting licensed music so that you can put it online, because if you put something online without the license, they'll ask you to take it down.
Right.
So we bought, you know, non-commercial rights for these three songs.
Cool.
And it's beautiful songs, and it all works very well.
It's always amazing to me, if you've ever, I'm sure you have, in the process of making films, look at a film without music, and then when the music is there, it's like a whole different film.
Yeah.
Did you have songs picked out as you were making the film that you were hoping to use?
We actually, one day, Isabel just came in and was like, so we need to find songs. And everyone was kind of like, okay. And then the next week she was like, so did anyone find any films, songs? And people were like, what? And she was like, well, I found these three songs. And at first people were like, eh. And they were like kind of annoyed and they didn't like them. But I think after seeing them like in the film and incorporated, people really liked them. And it made a huge difference. It made it seem a lot nicer.
They had some suggestions that were different, but they were not things that we could have any license
for. Sure.
So, but I think they work well.
Isabel, tell us a little bit about the film you're working on now.
I've been working on this for a very long time. It's a film that happens in the Amazon, working with a tribe of Indians and the Pemon people. And it's the great-granddaughter of the great chief who basically set down their unwritten constitution, who is going around, and I'm following her and helping her to get the information that's still left from the elders before they die. So we've gathered a lot of information of people that have already died in the last few years. And I'm always looking for help.
Are you working with anthropologists?
I have and I am, but the film is not anthropological. It's much more of a subjective view of somebody's experience, because I'm not an anthropologist, mm-hmm. and I'm not a scientist at all. So my view is always personal, because I'm an artist. So it's much more about the woman and her experience, but at the same time, we are retrieving all this information that is a wealth of information that anybody who wants to take it in later on can access it. And for them, it's an invaluable treasure. It's changed their lives.
Antonia, so do you see your future as a guitarist, a filmmaker, a book critic, or all three?
All three.
Oh, cool.
But I also want to be a contortionist.
Okay.
I've been training since New Year's.
Really? With
before New Year's.
With Bindlestiff or
with YouTube.
Oh, you're just watching YouTube and
I'm pretty good. Yeah.
She is. I saw a little thing that she did just standing up. You know, we should make a movie about a contortionist.
Absolutely. I don't think they get enough credit. I mean, they're so cool. They're amazing.
Well, you know, it's good to know there are a couple freak shows left in the... I mean, they don't call them that anymore. I'm sorry. Sorry. They call them sideshows. There are still some sideshows left around that would value a contortionist.
Well, she went to see the Cirque du Soleil, right? In Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw something on Broadway recently, and they had, like, three contortionists.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the contortionists was the contortionist from Burlesque. And Burlesque is an awesome movie, and it had a contortionist in it. So, yeah.
Don't you have to be double jointed or something?
Flexible.
Just flexible. I mean, I think it could help if you're double jointed, but I don't know. Yeah.
But I'm stimulating her to pursue acting, and I tell her that if she is a lot, I think it's a lot more difficult to go to contortionist school.
But well,
if she,
you know,
she goes to acting school, they probably help her find somebody that helps
right.
her.
Right. Well, an actor needs a lot of skills. And contortionist might be, you know, you could be an actor who has this little.
Exactly.
Like, there was that movie, the remake of Ocean's 11, where they used that Asian contortionist. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They sneak him in the box because he can fold himself into like a little square. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, yeah, that's
well,
right.
I think it would be great to be an actor, actress. Yeah. I don't think I can see myself being a guitarist. I just like to play the guitar. But all these things, they can help with being an actress. Like, if they're casting this movie and they're like, well, you're right, but you're not a contortionist, I'd be like, but I am. And then they'd be like,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
That's and believe me, if you had said book critic, I would have told you not to do it. I mean, I love books, but I've been a book critic, and it's drying up. It's all over.
Nobody loves a book critic.
No.
Yeah, or a critic of any kind. But I think...
Wow.
Seriously. I think everybody should make a point to go to the film.
Okay. Ellen, one more time, give us the info.
It's at 1 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
Yeah, on Sunday.
Okay. On Sunday.
At the Crandall Theater, which is right on Main Street in Chatham, which is now owned by the Chatham Film Club.
Yes, great thing.
They're also, as you know, the producers of what's it called?
The Film Columbia.
Columbia, the film festival that takes place
by the way,
in October.
They've promised to move further throughout the county in this next one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
that's what I've
thinking
heard.
Thinking about Hudson, too, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I've heard. I haven't really gotten
There are places now where they can show film.
We'll get Calliope in here when she's ready to tell us all about it.
Good.
She's a buddy of mine, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
We work together. We work out together, I mean to say.
Ah, here in Hudson, she told
That's
me
right.
about that. Yeah.
If you want to be a contortionist, you should go to the gym with Tom here.
Yeah, and watch
and,
me.
And,
the
you know.
Fact that I can't even... I can't do any yoga
he can't
things or anything.
Lift his arm above his head.
Exactly.
I want to also say something about the other kids in the school
because
I think we were just talking in the car about how talented they are. It's amazing to see how talented these kids are. You know, from writing to seeing how they can pick up anything in the editing, just hawk's eyes, you know, just really zone in and find something. Even directing, which is so difficult, even catch what the actors are doing and with the camera, like if there's a problem with the camera or should it be a different kind of shot? Or I mean, it's really incredible to see how these kids...
And it's nice to know that as the budgets start, you know, eliminating the arts, it's good to know that there are people out there supplementing it with privately financed extras after-school stuff. Because
and I was told when I first came in that this is the only alternative they have to sports. This is no other creative outlet of any kind, and that is just something that should change. I mean, should grow. I mean, it's so important.
It's true because, like, so many people do sports, but, like, I, for one, I don't do any sports, and there's really nothing I can do after school then because I'm like, yeah.
You should start a contortionist club instead. Have you... you know the people at the Bindle Stiff Circus, undoubtedly.
Yeah, I did circus for a year with Stephanie, and I did circus before then, too.
They do an after-school program also, right? I believe.
I think they do. Yeah. They're in the schools quite often, or, I mean, doing community programs of all kinds. But they must know about a contortionist school that you could go to. They've had contortionists here in their sort of adult circus shows. They had this incredible contortionist once. Unbelievable.
But, you know, if you have kids who are not necessarily that good in science or math or something like that, and what is their outlet if there's no creativity other than sports? I mean, how can they excel, you know?
Right.
And if you don't give them an opportunity to understand what that's about and be able to exercise those muscles, I mean, how can they go out into the world and find their way?
Right. I mean, there've been all so many studies on how kids who are involved in the arts are much more
absolutely
productive and better at other subjects as a result.
Yeah, because you're exercising your creativity, and you can use your creativity for anything.
Sure. And this program, the Berkshire Taconic Foundation, came into, I know, the Hudson schools, and I don't know about other schools. I think they expanded into Chatham. With the challenge of giving them some money that they then had to match. And I think the Ellsworth Kelly Foundation stepped in at a certain point. But it's been a great program in so many ways. I mean, didn't they do a bullying? I think it was either a film or a play about bullying last year.
I don't know.
That was
how to be a bully
in the school.
Yeah. You don't need
bullying,
that kind of
bullying 101.
Oh, thanks.
No, it's very important. I really applaud the Chatham Film Club for putting this program together and reaching out to the kids so that they have an alternative. And I think a lot of good things are going to come out of this.
Yeah.
Well, Ellen, one more time, tell our listeners where they can see these
1
films.
1 p.m. Sunday afternoon, May 4th at the Crandall Theater on the Main Street in Chatham.
And you're going to be able to meet the star who's sitting right here with us.
Yeah.
Will
you sign autographs?
Absolutely. I said I was going to hire people to ask for my autograph so I could feel special. But yeah, totally.
Actually, one of the kids yesterday asked that.
Yeah, they did.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell the story. And
yeah, he asked if...
a few paparazzi to be around you.
Yeah,
too.
That, I think that would work.
Totally. Okay.
So one of the kids asked us, do you think they're going to ask for autographs?
Mm. Okay, Tom, now you know what you have to do if you go.
I'm
going to
try to make
films.
It. I definitely will.
My friend is actually, she's in the film club at Chatham, and she's going to be there answering questions too, like about stuff. So you can hear more about it. Yay.
But you're going to be in the Q&A too, right?
I suppose so. Yes. I don't know.
Yes, the film is followed by a Q&A. So yes. You get a chance to talk to, it's, as it says, the filmmakers.
Absolutely.
Great.
So
and the stars.
Okay, well, we've been talking to Isabel Barton and Antonia Bellamy Talbot.
They're not that hard of name.
Are you going to keep that as your stage name, so to speak? You're going to change your name, do you think?
I don't know. I guess I'll
Tony
decide.
Talbot. How's that?
That's great. I love it. Everyone calls me Tony anyway.
There you go. Tony Talbot.
Yeah.
Future star Tony Talbot here in the studio. Well, thanks for coming in. Ellen, any more you'd like to ask them? Or?
No, I think we're all looking forward to seeing the films. And thank you for coming and talking to us about it.
Well, we hope to see everybody there. And thank you for having us here.
You're welcome.